Let's do something a little different today. We have a lot of folks gone, and I want the graduates in this section, all those that are graduating, because they've got to be doing a lot of talking today. What I felt the Lord said to me is, let's have a day here. Doesn't have to be long. We can make this fairly short if everybody's alert. Talking about the provision, the immutable provision of God. What He has given to us, what we have promised. And if you need to ask a question about any clarification, I can give it. But most of you by now have that understanding. And we'll talk about it. And I want it to come from here, and particularly every high school graduate should have something to contribute. So I've got a bit of a forced march there, because if you shouldn't get out of high school unless you really understand that we're here to grow in Christ by the promises, the immutable, unchanging provision of God. Number one, we've been born again. Number two, we've been baptized in the Spirit. Three, we see just a whole arsenal of power and promises that can't be changed. So we're going to have three or four songs, and we can still gather and realign things here. We've got Evan Gorman. Are you still here? Okay, he didn't run out on us. He's here. So, Father, we thank You for safe travel of all those we love that are coming home. And may a little De Gloria girl, Maria, and her husband have a rich time in a foreign land. And be with us today and the folks coming home. This is Your day. It's not ours. We belong to You. We don't belong to ourselves. Although we've been thieves and liars, we have acted as though we were our own. Anybody want to contend against that, please stand and say it now, because we have a room full of pretenders that God is shifting into the real aspect of our belonging to the living God. Thank You, Father, for every life here and for every little newborn that comes. We especially ask You to bless the little ones that are running around and have no idea how protected and how significant they are. As they grow from Xavier to Oliver and across this place, the little ones who came forth from the womb of mother who were born bearing their children here, even as Mary bore her child, the Lord Jesus. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. Let's gather.
Oh, God.
very, very clear that it's not duration that makes a praise time. This is very short, but very anointed. The presence of God clearly showed up because you did with hearts. If you could be near a mic or speak loud, because this ultimately, what God has done should come out of your heart. And I think yesterday's opening with the, we've all been prodigal sons, and we've all been the son that stayed home and complained. But the line there, the brokenness of the prodigal, you know, I'll do anything. And the father running out to kiss him is a picture of the gentleness and the greatness of a God who meets his son who's been whoring, who's been spending, who's been perfectly on his own. Now you sit here today and I stand with you, the greatness of what God has done with his provision. You are provided.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't want elders to feel like I mentioned graduates. There are not enough graduates here. But those that are here better be on their feet quite a bit to make up for those that aren't. Because that's what we're talking about. And ultimately, if it doesn't come from your heart, it's just religion. You could sit here today, and please understand this, I'm not trying to be critical, I just know. You can sit here with all kinds of information, but know deep experiences with God. And that, and our children, there are some of the young ones haven't lived long enough to see that, and that's okay. They will. And I want to start with a couple of things here that I think is funny. I stood upstairs this morning, and it's happened to me so many times, because it's in my office, because I didn't always have that office. And when Zoe was sitting, lying there, and she had gone on to meet the Lord, she wasn't there, and her little white feet kind of hung out, and I remember covering them. And I said, what am I going to say tomorrow? Or whenever it was. And the Lord said, I mean, it's as clear as anything. I've never had an audible, but I kind of believe that was audible. I know there wasn't a sound, but you know, how many know what I'm talking about? You didn't hear, but you've heard. And he said, I take care of my children. I want all of you to know that God takes care of you. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Jesus was a baby. He came out squalling, okay? His umbilical cord had to be cut. He nursed at his mother's breast. He cried in the night. When he was one or two, he may have just said, you know, where are you, mama? He was a baby. And in his teenage years, we don't know. He was under the law. And when he fully came around, because he, at 12, he tried to get out and do big things because he was an advanced student. Now remember, he had an uncle, Uncle Zachariah, and an auntie, and a cousin John, and I'm going to read a couple of things here. before we get started. But your job today is to cover as much of the provision as you can get a hold of in that word. Here, and I'm in Luke 1:18, and I just jump in the middle because the angel Gabriel had said, "Fear not, I'm the angel Gabriel." Hello. Anyway, he stood in the presence of the Lord, and Zacharias said unto the angel. Because the angel had said, your wife is going to have a baby. They were old and advanced in years, which was strange, okay? And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." The glad tidings that they were going to have a son. That was the cry of this priest. And then it says, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, and thou shalt be filled in them in due season." All right, so here we go. Now, what do we have? We have a dumb priest who didn't believe the angel Gabriel. Now, there's a room full of people who've had wonderful experiences with God. And the big thing is the provision. We'll talk about that. So anybody want to get started? I'll give you one of the important ones. And it's in Romans 8, 1 and 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And I think that strikes all of you who say, "Well, I don't know, I wonder, I've been a sinner, I've done this or that." There's a law that is there for you. And it's a continuous thing in regard to God's provision. You have absolutely been made free from dying. There's nobody in this room that's going to die who has asked God to come in and direct their life. That's a tremendous, immutable provision. Okay? And so, you're not babies. Some of you are younger than others, but everybody in this room gets an opportunity to grow. I've even noticed that Xavier is growing. I've noticed that Oliver occasionally recognizes me, and he says things like, "Ball." That's growth. He's not a baby anymore, like he was. And he's starting to command Samuel, and Samuel wants to listen, but he is the father. You have the father that made all things, who is gently, he's gentle, he's kind, he's beckoning you to lay down your life and serve the living God. All right, the door is open. Come on in. Anybody?
I graduated.
What?
I was a graduate one time.
Were yeah.
Years ago.
They let you through school? Really? Oh, goodness.
They kept bumping me along as
okay.
I've had a parallel experience with what Brother Bill was talking about this morning with Sister Zoe. And that was after we lost our guys in the plane wreck. After the people were lost in Uppsala, I was going riding up in the boat one day, and I said, God, I think you ought to take better care of your people. And I don't know if it was the next night or very soon after that, I had a dream that I was at the Fairbanks house, and I came out of the downstairs bedroom, and there was John Winger sitting at a desk. And he got up from the desk and he started walking toward me, and I just woke up just terrorized by the experience with these words in my ears, I take care of my people.
Wow.
That's what I needed to hear at the moment. And sometimes we just have to be honest with God. And I think that's when we get the most help. God, this, anyway, I won't say any more. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, Tom.
Excellent. Well, has he taken care of us?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Mr. Sparks had something good to say about this morning. You know, the cross is a mighty power in our lives. And he was making three distinctions about the cross. But the main one that he came that he ended with was we only come into the fullness of life by the cross.
Yep.
So we know the cross is there to help us with sins and those kind of things and bringing us to God, and Jesus is the way. But the provision he has for us is fullness of life.
Yeah.
And that only comes by the cross. So. That's what I have.
One of the things that comes to mind when you're standing there is growth. I knew you when you were very young. I wasn't that much older. But to see the commitment and the growth is a salute to the immutability that you seem to believe that God has provided and is with you. Anybody? Elders can speak too.
I'm not sure I graduated, but anyway. You know, I think we all are more and more, I'm going to use the word grasping for the promises that we know we can rest in, that God has made, that somehow he's going to get us through, you know, regardless of where we are. And one that I've been thinking about quite a bit lately, and if you were to read Acts 13, it's a very lengthy chapter, and I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm just going to get to one verse. But it's talking about the provision of Jesus and why he came, and Paul's giving the whole history of how he was taken and sacrificed, and that he came from the seed of David, and he talked about the sure mercies of David. And, you know, when you think about David, you can identify a little bit with what he went through and then start getting a little bit of hope that maybe, you know, there's a chance for you, because if David had mercy, you and I can have mercy. But the verse that has been stuck with me is right here in verse 39 of chapter 13. And it says, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things. By him are all that believe justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So something that you were not able to be justified before.
Let me interrupt. This is great stuff. The issue of the law. The law is for the lawless. God has said, you're not the lawless, you're mine. Mm-hmm. And I cover you because of the blood of my son and the sacrifice
right.
of him.
Because of his sacrifice, right. all of a sudden you've been taken out from something that you couldn't have otherwise been yeah. saved from.
Right.
And that is like, wow. Yeah. You know, you had a shut door in front of you, but now you don't because of the sacrifice that he made for you. And that's the sure mercies of David. You know, that's what David had that was given to him and is the same provision. You know, if you read this chapter, it says that, you know, this wasn't just for them, but it's for us and for our children. Yeah. Wow. You know, that's amazing.
Yeah. My heart is just burning with this. This is Jesus' last prayer. This is John 17. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name, those you have given to me. And it goes on to say, not only them, he was talking about the disciples, but he's also talking about those who came beyond.
Yep.
Look at that prayer that reigns today through the heaven, through the world. It's just as much there then as it is this day and tomorrow yep. and forever. Thank you, Lord, for that prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. Just add something else. The reason the sacrifice meant so much is because it was a willing sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't someone chasing after some animal to kill it and, you know, offer it. It was a willingness of the vessel saying, I'm willing to do whatever it is. You know, you tell me, you lead me. Gabe talked about that. And that sacrifice had a lot more value than all the thousands and hundreds and millions that they did before. It was the sacrifice of being willing and offering
yeah.
that made the difference. For the Son.
Yeah. It says in Hebrews 8, verse 5, about Moses, who was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. See, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he, Moses, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. In my life here, there's been ups and downs and trials I had never anticipated, a duration I certainly didn't anticipate, just straight length of time. And in the middle of that, it's just gotten better. Better in what way? Well, I know everybody here better.
Sure.
And I can't look around the room without seeing faces that are friends,
yeah.
and I can count on. I can tap anybody on the shoulder and say, I need this or that, and they'll make some attempt to cooperate. And it's not a cooperation based on human care. It's a cooperation built on a better promise. We have the promise that Jesus, who went the way of the cross, is enabling us to go the same way into this better covenant.
Yep.
People sometimes don't understand that Jesus needed to be saved. There were traveling ministries in their 60s and 70s when somebody said this. They had a reaction. But the Bible says it. With loud crying, and tears, he was saved in that he heard. So he knew that he had to be saved. And so as we look at that, it's important. And I wanted, these graduates ought to be up here in these chairs so I can pick on them. Is there only three of them here? I'm glad. We'll work them over. Where are they? The graduates. We've got three chairs here, right here at my right hand. I was looking over yesterday at Brother and anyway, I'll leave that brother out. But when we hear from individuals, I look at them frequently, and I remember them as little kids running around here, questioning, not knowing even why they're here. And then yesterday when Dan was here, I can use his name, Dan was standing up and I thought, there's a man. He's not a little boy anymore. He's a man. The responsibility of children, of course he's over his head. He doesn't know which of his three children, where they're going to go, what they're going to think. But he has the responsibility and the anointing as a father. So growth is major. Never, whenever you're a speaker, it ought to be about the allegiance to the Father that Jesus had to have, that dependency, and that the central aspect of why we're here is maturity, growth, a change, a relinquishing of our glory, seeking our glory, but seeking His, because He seeks yours. Your God seeks your glory. Read that section.
Still waiting for Anna to come sit up here. I think the Lord wants her to come sit up here today. Is Kaylin a barn? Sneaky. Okay, Anna, you're next. I'll read this, and then I'll pass this off to you. I've had my finger in so many places now as we've been talking about promises. They are, you could take this in any direction. And I think the point is making it your own. They're all there. Making it your own is when the day changes. I just want to keep saying that. It doesn't matter how many promises are out there. It just takes the one the Lord has for you today, and the whole day is different. That's what being transformed is. I was reading Revelation where it says it's going to give them a new name. I'm really thankful that a new nature is available for me. I'm glad that this is not the nature I get for the rest of eternity. That would be some sad news. That's if there's a hell, being left with you has got to be one of the worst things you could possibly imagine, just like you are left there. Anyway, we all have I do like that about the white stone. We have a new name that is available to us. Laying hold of it is what we're trying to do.
Right.
So Brother Bill was pointing out here in Romans 8, it says, who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died and is at the right hand of God and maketh intercession. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, we know all these, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, and this is Paul taking the application of the promises, we are more than conquerors, for I am persuaded, and Paul was, that nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present or the future. Isn't that good? Things to come. What's to come? We've been hearing about what's to come. None of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. That has to be personal, and that comes by the experience of the contact that we talk about, where on any given day with whatever what you have and you can't see what's ahead, you got it. That promise right. Has to be real, that there's no separation that can happen.
Stay there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's all read that together.
Okay, this is Romans 8,
starting
38. For I am persuaded, that one. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
There's no way to move you away from the love of your Father, mm-hmm. who gave his Son, and it says a desire that he could give his Son for our sakes. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Just while she's getting ready to come up here, buying your time. I was thinking when Gabe was preaching on Wednesday, he brought up the three examples, Gideon, Moses, and Paul, and their conversions. And in each one of those, the Lord says, I will be with you.
Yeah.
And Gideon, so he was, you know, as we heard, he was fearful and doing the complete opposite of his purpose. And, you know, he was commissioned and told, you're a great, mighty man. And then the only promise he had was, I will be with you.
Yeah.
And so he was left with that promise and his view of himself and a prophecy, but he had that promise, I will be with you. Same thing with Moses. You know, Moses, he was commissioned, and then he said, I will be with you. And then I wanted to read it in the story of Paul. You know, he was blind. It doesn't say it exactly, but kind of the same message goes through. He was blind, and Ananias came in, prayed for him, and he said, receive the Holy Ghost. And the scales, you know, fell off of his eyes, and he was provisioned with Christ. You know, that was Christ going with him. And it said, you know, the net effect right after that, it says immediately he went out and preached Christ.
Yeah.
So Christ was with him and completely turned him from his purpose. And I just thought that, you know, that's the provision that we've been given, is his promise that I will be with you. You know, we're still left with our view or fears or whatever, but he says, no, this is what you need.
Yeah.
All you need is I will be with you. And that's what turns the purpose.
Yeah. All right.
I was gonna get up anyway. Just saying. Well, I've heard the words promises and provisions being thrown around, but as far as provision goes, just a constant theme that, and I think I talked about it in my brief little opening earlier this year. But just about the family we have here, and it's become more and more prominent, especially with doing the production, just the example God has given everyone here, but I've just been noticing it recently, just like all of the love and care that is poured into things here, like with Becky spending practically her whole day just pouring love into us kids, same with Ted, the work he does, just the examples that God gives us of how, of like a loving family, and that was one of the provisions that has been prominent in my life right now.
Good. I'll give you the set of a book because you're not finished. All right. I remember you.
Funny. So I've also heard provisions thrown around, obviously. I think, try not to say too much because I talk about this a lot in my speech, but I've been thinking about the provision of, like Brother Ted was saying, support and people around who will just jump in if you need them. And I think that's like something major because you know that if you're walking through something, everyone will be there to support you.
I was thinking of two different things. I continually think of the...
Get closer.
Is this one on? Yeah, okay. Of Psalm 62, and it says, the Lord wants you to pour your heart out to him continually and to talk to him about everything. And in John, I cannot remember which verse, but it says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And I think a lot of the, I mean, after his sacrifice on the cross, that didn't stop his provisions. And in Hebrews, in a couple places, this is talking about Jesus. He was the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then you go over to chapter 7, and it's talking about priesthood, but about the natural priesthood, and then how Jesus, his priesthood, continues forever. He has an unchangeable priesthood, and he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for him. And I did a little study on this whole thing. About intercession, because in our normal talk around here, anyway, we talk about intercession as prayer, and it is, but in the dictionary definition of intercession is to intervene between parties with a view to reconciling differences. He's our mediator, and he's always there mediating for us. And that ties so much into Psalm 62. To pour your heart out unto him. He is your mediator forever between you and God.
Up after that, when Brother Bill read that scripture about Zechariah, and then Becky talked about the new priesthood, that, what happened with Zechariah being struck dumb, and he didn't open his mouth until he changed, till he gave the right name, that changed the priesthood. Because up to that point, they all had to be named after their father. Yeah, sure. John should have been Zechariah, mm-hmm. the second or whatever. But that was the change that ushered in the new priesthood. And all that came after that in Christ, I mean, that was just the beginning. But that was making a statement to us that he no longer needed to be like his natural father. Right. There was going to be provision for a change of name. Yeah. Yeah. That's our promise.
Yeah, right. Amen. Very good. Yeah. Where's that other seat?
They knew it was coming.
Well, I have found that too often with the provision of God, I haven't even recognized it until it's in the past. You look back and you see the provision of God, and you don't see it right here, right now, and you don't see it in the future. And I think sometimes it's because I have thought of provision as things. You know, God provided my house, he provided food, he provided a job, he provided. But our real provision, as we know, is him. And our real provision, him, is through you very often. And I've been, I'm going to get emotional, I don't want to do this, but it's because of these guys. I've been looking back the last few months, so thankful, not just for these seniors, but the last several classes we've had, because of how God has made a provision for me for something he spoke to me back when I was in junior high. And when I was in junior high, there was this big push about, what are you going to do when you grow up? You know, what kind of job are you going to get? What's your future going to be? And, you know, that's a big strain to put on a kid. He's like, Jackson, what are you going to do when you grow up? You know, you don't need to know right now, but I was made to feel like I needed to know right then. But what I felt put on my heart is I'll probably teach music in maybe a small junior college or something like that. I knew I didn't have the personality for a big place, but I thought I could do a pretty good job, you know, in a smaller venue. And then years went by and no junior college came to, you know, nearby, but then look where we are now. And look what these kids have done. And as far as the music program, you guys probably mostly know this, but the production they're gonna do, they wrote every note of the music. I didn't write one bit of it. They and the other students and Julian have written every single bit of it. And where could you do something like they've done without the provision that God has made? I mean, it would be unheard of for a school to pull off something like they're doing. And I see the provision of God in that. I see the provision of God for me and these kids to fulfill something that he spoke to me 60 years ago. Yeah. And then the provision of God for through us, for them. And it all works together. And it's a beautiful thing when we see God's provision coming together.
You're all thinking, you know, what's the problem? Why does this matter? You know, like, it's good to, why does it matter to rehearse this? What does it do to my day to day? Like, if it was just stepping into a fairy tale, there'd be no conflict with the promises that are on my life. And it's like, why do I find, you know, it matters because I find myself being warred in my mind. It matters because the situation I have in somehow overcomes my view, where I look ahead and I start questioning, Lord, are you with me in this? You know, like, if we weren't in struggles, it wouldn't really matter, but we're all in the real trial of our faith. It really matters. Like, for any one of us in this room, I was listening to Becky speak, like, there's some seismic things going on in our personal life where the Lord is wresting us out of where we have been and really seeing, can you trust me? Can you trust me where you have me? And it just is, it's like you look at Naaman, we know the story, we can see this is the easiest thing, you're gonna run over the river and you're gonna be healed of leprosy. But he stared his promise right in the face for a long time and it didn't look like what he thought it was gonna look like. And it just, I'm just aware sitting here that the view of what the actual outworking of the provision is, I've got to expand my view of how the Lord's blessing and provision comes to me, because his way of moving me forward, his way of forcing growth in my life, probably on Saturday today, is making me face the thing that I don't want to face one more time. That's the provision of the Lord in my life, to not just leave me the way that I am. I hope there's a connection of the energy, this theme that Brother Bill's been on. There just has to be, it has to, you know, the two wires have to make contact here about the provision of the Lord in my life, that the glorious, these promises, if you heap them up, you know, is it possible to have a bad day when you look at all these? I mean, everybody should be just, there should be a bright smile on your face. It should be running out to meet the day. What is the deal? Because we know that the Lord is, he's not okay with just kind of knowing it right here. He's got to get it in our guts. He's got to make it yours, kid, where you realize, man, the Lord, this is, I've got skin in the game of what the Lord is doing in my life. It's not just something else they said. No, actually, the Lord is working with me today. Thank you, Lord, on Saturday, right today, he's working with me. It's just, that's the connection. Like, that's why it matters to me, is that the provision that he's at work to do in my life, it doesn't look like what I think it looks like all the time. Don't miss it for that.
Thank you, Gabe, and it really is true that the Lord does not want to leave us where we are.
Yeah.
And that's a great provision that he's given us. In Lamentations, it says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning.
Right.
Great is thy faithfulness. He gives us second chances.
Yeah.
Thank God. He doesn't leave us where we are. Yes. How many times do you need to forgive your brother? How many times do we need to give each other second chances and third chances and fourth chances and forgive one another over and over again? Go to God. God, forgive me, whatever. Thank you, Lord, that his mercies never end. And every day, he gives us a new opportunity. can we give each other, can we give ourselves,
yep.
you know, a new day
yeah.
and new mercies and never give up on one another?
Yeah.
I thank God for the provision we have here of one another and the forgiveness that we extend to one another, the second and third, and how many chances yeah. that we give one another. You don't get that out there very often.
Yeah.
It's like, look at that person. Damn you. It's uh-huh. over.
Yeah.
Separation. We're not going to discuss. You're cut out of my life.
Yeah, cut out.
Thank God that's not him.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Hang around, you may have more to say. We cannot get away from the love of God.
Yep.
And yet, in this room today, and let me just say this because I've seen it in my own life. We're not, it isn't a suggestion that we love one another. Okay? It's not a suggestion that you forgive yourself. Okay? I was on the phone with someone who was grieving and ranting about what had been done to her. And my point was, forgive the other party and forgive yourself, because it is the law that from God, it's God's word, you know, judge not that you be not judged. Now, if you don't love everybody in this room, why don't you? Well, I'll tell you why I didn't. I didn't think about it. I thought I had the privilege to be me. I had the privilege to select in this. And one of the reasons I made this confession, because quite a while back, I said, I was with Archer Torrey, and he said, it's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion that you love your brother. It's an order. It's a order. An immutable, unchanging order that should work in your life. And even recently, with some of the things and the individuals who are very childish, very immature, they're Christians, they're brothers, they're sisters. I don't know who you know or where they are, but anyone who's come into Christ can't get away. You may want to get away. You may, I got to get away. No, I'm sorry. You won't. In spite of you, God will hold on to you. Will you go to hell? Yes. Everybody here has been there. Maybe except Oliver. Everybody. But he's been a heck of a problem here and there. Would you say amen to that? Yes. He just about knocked me down with a blue ball once upstairs. And I'm very tender and soft. But you are the inheritance, the family of God. It's immutable. It won't be changed. Now, if you came in today, if you walked into a Bible church, most of the churches of God, and you said, I'm a son of God. They'd say, yeah, we're all the son of God's work. And if you said, I am a growing Christ, you would upset the thing. Oh, no, no, there's only one. There's only one. The church has been absolutely cornered, concreted, plasticized, blasted with the idea that they have not been born from above. And we'll read a scripture. Somebody out there who has a Bible handy, let's you stand, whoever you are, stand up and read Ephesians 1. I'll give you an answer for those who say that. Anybody? Ephesians 1, who has it? Anybody have Ephesians 1? Will you go to the mic? Yeah, okay, read it. Nice and loud.
Ephesians 1, what?
Just read one. Just read it. Go on. Where are you?
Right here.
All right, nice and loud.
from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Hold it. What? Why aren't you using them? Why don't we use them? Oh, they're going to come to us by osmosis. No. If you have those blessings and you have that peace, use them. Go on.
Who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
All right. Is that good? You didn't know that you were chosen. You know how I knew I was chosen? When I had my bicycle and the little ladies with the felt board stuff said, "Come on in, Billy. You seem to be interested in the lion's den and Daniel and that." And I said, "No, I'll just stay here." But I knew that I should get closer. But I was afraid of the truth of my call and my inheritance. There are maybe some young people in here would be afraid of it. But that's good stuff. Go on.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ.
Okay, read that again and everybody look at it, because that's what I was looking for.
It's 1:5.
Read it.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ.
All right, himself. Now, we've had... Thank you. Stay there, Lynn. There may be more. You don't know. You may find something on your own. Well, I'm glad you read it because you're very clear speaking. A lot of people don't use their kissing lips, and it's hard to hear them. Can I say this? We were talking. Somebody said, "Do you know such and such? They adopted a baby, and they didn't want the baby, and they gave the young girl back." And someone said, "What? They had a baby in their home and they gave the baby back? That's awful." Now hear me. Do you think the living God who's adopted you is going to turn you back because you are slow? You don't get the message quick? You know, I know that God has trailed me with mercy. And please, I'm not going to say this in a lot of places. But I wondered why it was so long, why I took so long in areas of my life. Well, it's for mercy. Because some of you are still dangling along thinking maybe you can go out there and do your own thing. You don't really understand. Bless your hearts. And God is gentle. He'll let you be loonies, ridiculous. The world today that's going the way it's going, he loves all those people. All that idiocy on the left, they're going to get it one day. Goebbels and Goering and Hitler and the whole salvo of the Nazi party who put babies, young men, young married people in incinerators and burned them alive because they were Jews. Every one of those men are going to be on their knees travailing and confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's going to happen. And maybe you'll get a chance to be there. You may be called. You and I may be called to be saviors of others. But until we are in a love relationship, we've got a lot of people coming in here. Before they come, would you get on your face and say, "God, I don't love everybody. I don't know how. Give me the capacity to love." You know. You've been adopted. God's not going to give you.
Okay, so 6 and 7, I think they do kind of synthesize what's been said this morning. To the praise of the glory. to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself.
Yeah, that's his idea. Immutability is God's idea, not ours. Because we actually believed. All right, you believe in Christ. He saved you from your sins. You better not sin again. There's nobody in this room that didn't sin with both hands after they were baptized in the Spirit, saw visions, prophesied, in my case, traveling the world. So, you can't get away from the unchanging love of God.
I just wanted to add this one last thing for me anyway. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And part of the provision is that we can say that.
Yeah. That's right.
We can say that and expect help. He will help us with our unbelief. I've stumbled in belief so many times, but he helps every time.
Yeah, we can't please him unless we trust him. You don't love anybody you don't know or don't trust. So that's why the offering. The offering will open you up to a trust that you've never seen.
All right. So I've given a lot of thought to... I'm right over here, Brother Bill. So I've given a lot of thought to this, why we are so lavishly blessed. And it does, I would say that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. I mean, the many times that we have fallen, and I don't know how that works. That's kind of a mysterious saying. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And so now it's coming down to where we really have to...
Wait, what was your question? You don't understand what?
No, I don't understand how the mystery works, but it says that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance.
Well, if you're enslaved to something, you're a drunk or you're a druggie or you chase women all the time and you sense that God has forgiven you,
yeah.
You know,
I understand that part. What I'm saying is...
Well, but you say, oh my God, I'm no good, I'm going to hell.
Sure.
And you run around in a daze, and then somebody comes along and says, girl, you'll be all right.
Let me finish what I have to say. I think you'll understand what I'm trying to say. I understand. Sure. Yeah, and also with that, now we're getting into a place where like someone comes in here and you find out that you're really, some people are really great. They're with their people. And some people have a complete adversity to being people.
It's immaturity.
It's immaturity. I agree with that. But the thing is now that what we're being demanded of is to find out why we don't really love each other the way we're supposed to. It's not some greasy type, it's very difficult for me because I can't, either because of pride, I want someone to relate to me a certain way, or I relate to somebody because of something inside of me that is very uncomfortable for them.
For you.
You see me the way I don't see me. But I would say that to me, I was thinking about just God's provision and how we've got all this and what is it for? Well, it's for that somehow he works through, you know, the goodness of God leadeth to repentance, and it's leading us to repentance in our own lives for things that he's going to show us, and he's showing us, so that we'd have something real for each other, you know, love for one another.
It's the big boy. The love of the brethren.
Yep.
The big deal is we can't. And until you say you can't,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to,
mm-hmm.
but I should. Help me want to help me, God. It is constant. I don't know how to do it. And this is the problem with the natural man. We've got brilliant people in this room, and they think their brilliance is a word to God. And unless you become a child and you say, I don't know, you're not going to see it. It isn't by your human effort. It is a gift. It's grace. It's mercy. And we'll get
Yeah, that's why he brings you into situations that you cannot. You think that actually your brother is your enemy, but he's really not, because you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against yourself and principalities and, you know, in heavenly places, and he just has to show you that, and that is what he's in the process of showing you. That you really don't have what it takes, and you can't do this by yourself.
Got to break this up if we need to. I just don't want to cut anybody off. I think Agnes Elizabeth should be up here. I think my wife should go to work. You don't just, because you've been here a long time, take your leisure, Mrs. Greer. Come up, honey. Aren't we glad that Evan and his family has come?
Yes.
It's such a blessing to see you guys, because I saw you and you were down there in that wonderful Florida heat, you know, and the fact that God cares enough to get you out of that soft beach
paradise, you know,
many times in the winter. I've longed for it.
Yes. just a quick thought. Once I read about in a devotional something that said the power is not in, how is it? Let me see. Let me forget. The power is not in the prayer, but the power is in the one who hears it. And I always kept thinking about it, because the great provision that we have, that the Lord hears our prayers. And we can come to him with our troubles, with our joys, and we know he hears us. So that's a great provision that we have. We can keep coming back to him, because he hears us. So it's a blessing. In general? Okay. Well, listening to other, I guess another provision has come to mind. he mentioned it, but the freedom we have in Christ. And with that, the freedom he gives, the small, breakthroughs, I know a lot of people have been saying this winter has definitely been hard for, you know, including me, but it's just seemed like a theme that this winter was a struggle for some people. But just like the little breakthroughs he gives us, maybe not when we think we need them, but just like he gives us those breakthroughs, he reminds us of the freedom that's in him and the freedom from the chains we think that are going to bond us for years and years. Yeah. He just reminds us, you know, exactly when we need it, that like, they don't have to bind us.
Okay. I don't remember who just said this. I know it was just said, but about if we crying out, no. Oh, gosh. they asked for help or something. I don't remember what was just said. I just had it. But someone said something about Gideon and Moses and one other person. And I liked that I'm here, is what it was. And I liked, it's nice to know, I guess, that though we have people around us too, we also, God is there walking us through it too, and he's there all the time, no matter if you know it or not.
Yeah.
We have to understand what God has given us is impossible with man. That's why it's been such a long waste. But let's stand and sing a couple of songs here, and then we'll get out of here.
In quietness and confidence shall be thy strength. In quietness and confidence shall be
the knowledge within your hearts, O house of God, that the living God is the one who will give you legs to run, a heart to continue when everything around you is bleak and musty with the darkness of thine own thinking. So let there be this within thy spirit. If you would rejoice in the Lord your God, he shall give you the desires of your heart. But even as we have known, we don't know what to desire. Our desires have gone left, right, forward, back, stalled in road blocks, in circumstances of our own fear. But let there be the knowledge that the resounding promise of God shall awaken your heart to have a love relationship, the impossible one, that your heart will lean upon your God, who has understanding and wisdom. And even if you would see that the wisdom of Christ, who dwells within you to grow you into the fullness of all thine inheritance. If you would reckon that and walk with that and offer yourself daily, you will be astounded at the freedom and the joy and the knowing of a God who made all things, and he commands us to love one another, which is impossible without him. Thank you, Lord. Let's be dismissed.